We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Brian Windhorst from ESPN, nice enough to join us here on 95.7 The Game as we turn our attention back to the NBA. 10 days left in the regular season, and not a lot of headlines that we're looking at today were predicted headlines from earlier on in the year when you started looking at everything. Nobody was talking about how the Suns and Jazz were going to be duking it out for the top seed in the Western Conference. I don't think anybody had the Lakers fading all the way possibly into the play-in round. The Knicks are a playoff team. Again, the world is strange all of a sudden. To help us figure it all out, Brian Windhorst from ESPN pops on Damon Ratto and Kolsky. We appreciate your time. As always, Brian, how you doing, man?
I know it's not good for business, but this is why you should never bet on the NBA.
No kidding. I mean, it's so unpredictable, and I actually think that that's a little good for business, maybe not the gambling business, but a criticism that you normally hear is the chalk always talks and the best team always wins, and therefore the NBA suffers from a little bit too much predictability. Thanks to injuries, thanks to inconsistencies, for whatever reason, there's not a lot of predictable out there this year.
Well, it hasn't been the best season. This has been what I've been calling a get it in season, just get it in. It's the players aren't playing at the top of their games. You can tell by the blowouts and how the offenses are dominating that the teams aren't spending the time preparing. Teams give up on games sooner because the schedule is so rough. Even us in the media, we don't have good access to the players. We don't have any access to the players really, except over Zoom. Occasionally you can have a text relationship with the player, but when you haven't seen a guy for a year, it's even tough to maintain that, to be honest with you. And so I don't even think we're covering it very well. I don't think the coverage of the league has been as good as it should be. So this is just a get-it-in season. That said, I suspect that it will be a good playoffs. I do think that there's a lot of teams that have a chance at a title. I don't know how many can actually win it, but some teams that can talk themselves into it. There's a lot more teams still alive at this point in the season and still playing hard, which we would normally not see. So I do think there's a lot of intrigue, even though I don't think we're going to put this one in the vault and say, boy, let's go back and look at that over and over.
You said that, just taking from your answer, there's been, across the league, spottier defense than before, whether it's teams that are already in and trying to conserve their guys for the postseason or teams that are just playing out of it. A game in the 130s is now not unusual at all, and a game in the 140s is even, that's not that big a deal. How much of a transition to playoff basketball are these teams going to have to make if there are, if they're allowing, like 114 points a game like Portland is, or 114, like Brooklyn is? I mean, because playoff basketball is all about tenacious defense and getting stuck in a guy's chest and staying there. How much of that do you think is going to be there this year? And how hard a transition is going to be for teams that don't defend well to suddenly have to defend well?
That, sir, is an experienced question. And that, I think the two things that are the biggest question marks in the NBA are, one, how is LeBron James' ankle going to be when it matters? And two, are we going to see a return to normal playoff basketball, or is this going to just be street ball wins? To me, that's the thing. In fact, I've been asking coaches that exact question. I've got an appointment with Quinn Snyder in an hour to ask him that question for a story that I'm working on, because that, to me, is the big question. This season, because of the travel, because of the COVID restrictions, And look, these guys have got to get up and come to the facility every single day. Sometimes it's 6 in the morning to get COVID tests. Some of them have to get – sometimes you get tested twice a day. And so the coaches are not having practice, and they're putting in game plans in walkthroughs. Some teams aren't even holding shoot-arounds. So the level of preparation for the opponent compared to previous years is scant. And, you know, I even believe last night, like, Anthony Davis, he's, you know, they know that tonight's game in Portland is really worth two games because they're tied and the winner also gets the tiebreaker. So it's like worth two games. I think Anthony Davis sees a 20-point game in the second quarter. He tweaks his ankle and he's like, I'm folding up shop and we'll save it for tomorrow. I don't think he'd have seen that in years past. So I think all of that changes when you get to the postseason. The Nets don't believe so. The Nets, when they traded for James Harden, shoved all their chips in the middle and said the new modern NBA is run and gun and outscore the opposition. And right now, I haven't looked at this stat in the last couple of weeks, so it's possible this may not be 100% accurate, but 2 weeks ago when I was looking at this, 9 of the top 12 offensive seasons in the history of the league were happening this year by teams. Last year, the Dallas Mavericks had the number one offense in history, and I think this year they'd be like fifth or sixth. So this is far and away the most ridiculous offense out of control we've ever seen. My experience and expectation is that that will not continue in the playoffs, but I can't sit here and tell you that's for sure.
Is it about defending the three more than anything else? Is that the biggest blind spot in basketball today?
Well, I think teams all switch on defense now because they can't. They're so afraid to give shooters any space. So defense is so different. The defense is set to defend the three. I think it's more that we're going to learn that this player likes to go left when he gets the ball in the right block, or this player, when he comes to the top of the key, he always goes to the right wing, or when this team runs this play, when they call, fist, twist, they're always going to end up with the shot in the left-hand corner. And you put that all in, and you start taking stuff away. And so now it comes, and that's why we often see when you get to the back end of big-time playoff games. I'm not talking about game one of round one. I'm talking about when it's 2-2 in game five and it's the second half. You often see the stars take the ball on their shoulders and just break it down without plays because the other team has taken away all of the plays. We haven't seen anything like that in the regular season. We don't see shutdown like that in the regular season anyway, but there's been the lack of preparation and the lack of intensity of these games has been way back because of the circumstances that will not exist in the playoffs.
Brian Windhorst here on 95.7 The Game. So LeBron versus Steph in a play-in is a dream that no one would dare even talk about when the year started. Warriors probably weren't going to be in it, and obviously the Lakers weren't going to be anywhere near a play-in opportunity. But here we are. And if that happens, it's a one game pennies from heaven for the league from a ratings standpoint. Should the Warriors be looking at that as the opportunity they really want, or is that still even a depleted descending Laker team too much for Curry and company to bite off?
I'm contractually obligated to tell you that that game will be on ESPN. look, I don't know what LeBron's ankle is. I don't have a good read for what's going on with him right now. Part of me believes he came back and was like, I'm not ready to play, so I'm going to shut it down for the next 2 weeks, and if that means we fall to the play-in, so be it. Part of me, the way I know how LeBron looks forward and sees the whole field a lot better than most people in the league, certainly most people in life, when he was complaining about the play-in, it was because he was knowing his team was going to be in the play-in. And so part of me thinks he's taken the 2 weeks and resting right now so that the guy that you see that comes out in that will be much, much better than the guy that we saw. But also it just could be that he's not right and is not going to be right. I mean, you talk to football players, which it's a high ankle sprain is much more prevalent in football than basketball. They talk about a high ankle sprain affecting them for 6 months. And sometimes it affects them for even a year when they're not 100% right. So I don't know how LeBron's going to be, and that's going to be a huge factor. The other thing is, if you're going to play the Lakers on the road, you might as well do it early on because there's only going to be like 10% of the crowd at Staples Center. So while if it's an 8-7 matchup and the Warriors have to travel down there, yeah, you're not thrilled going on the road, but if you're playing in a place like Utah where there's going to be 9,000 people in the building versus a place like Staples where there's going to be, you know, 1,500 and half of them are on the upper deck, it's not the worst time to get him. And certainly if you're going to get a shot at LeBron, you want to play him the first game or second game back from an injury as opposed to the 17th.
In terms of the playoff, if they find a way to play standard playoff, the league finds a way to play standard playoff basketball, which means that scores will come down and defenses will be tougher. Does that make a team like the Knicks or the Knicks more than anybody else, I guess. Does that make them better or does that make them worse?
Well, I mean, the Knicks are playing with house money. By the time they get back from this road trip, they may be in seventh place. I know they're in fourth right now, but they have four more games on this trip. And if they have three losses, which I think is, you know, decently probable, I think they'll be in seventh. So I don't know if the Knicks are going to make anything. I think the battle of wits, the battle of eras is really 76ers Nets. And the Nets basically play a version of street ball. They're like, look, we have the greatest offensive assembly of talent ever. We are unbelievable at isolation basketball. So even if you take away our plays, we're just going to shoot the ball over you. We're going to get to the line and we're going to try to beat you 137, 134. And we're probably going to be able to do it 4 out of 7 times because one of those, one or two of those games, you might score 150. And then you have the Sixers, who are as old school as they come. They run, I think Joel Embiid himself has run more post-ups this year than 17 other teams in total, the whole teams. And he's going to get to the line a lot, and it's going to be like Patrick Ewing days, and they're going to play slow. And, yeah, they shoot threes, but nowhere near the volume that the Nets or other teams would. And they're going to defend. They're going to put, four guys out there with big, giant, long arms, and they're going to say, go ahead and try to score on us, and we're going to try to beat you 102 to 101. And maybe if we're lucky, we're going to beat you 95-94. Probably not going to happen against the Nets. And it's going to be a mash of those styles. And the Nets have wagered that they are the future, and the Sixers have wagered that the tried and true with the center is the center is the centerpiece of your offense and stout defense. They have a top three defense in the league. We'll win out.
So who then is the livest off-brand team in this postseason? And by off-brand, I think you know what I mean. Is it non-LA team, non-New York?
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean.
Who's the best bet? You know, who's the best?
Yeah, who's the best bet who isn't the usual, you know, the usual favorite?
Right. Well, so I think the Bucks are a dangerous team because Giannis, and especially if it's second round Nets Bucks. The last 2 years, Giannis has been halted in the second round because he ran into defenses. He runs into the Nets and he's just like he's licking his chops. He just played them twice in the last week, and I know it was without Harden, but I think in a series against the Nets, Giannis would average 40, and he might have the ability to overwhelm them. Maybe not. Maybe those three dudes outscore him. But the best player in the series is Giannis, and I think anything's possible there. And then in the West, you know, I would love to pick the Nuggets to win it. And I was really on the verge of saying that this team was my championship favorite when Jamal Murray got hurt. Because once they got Aaron Gordon, it aligned so much of what they needed to do defensively. He took some of the pressure off, you know, what Michael Porter Jr. had to do defensively because he's miserable on defense. But he's a beast on offense. And I was like, this team looks like they're the team. They've now lost their cannon, you know, their difference-making perimeter player. They have probably the best front court in the league when you look at Gordon, Porter, and Jokic. But their backcourt is going to be inexperienced and not have the firepower. And it's hard for me to pick them. And the same thing with the Suns. I would love to tell you that the Suns, especially if they get the number one seed, could do this. But you're asking a team that's never won a playoff game as a group together, and the majority of their roster has never stepped a foot on a playoff court. How can I expect them to win 12 or 16 games? That's why if I had the lay of the land right now, and I don't feel great about it, I wouldn't suggest making a bet on it. The Clippers are the team that I would begrudgingly say would probably win the West. But the Suns are the team that probably you get the best odds on. I think I looked yesterday and they were like seventh or eighth, you know, in terms of odds. And I think that's probably one of the best bets you can make, even though I don't love it.
Brian Windhorst from ESPN here on 95.7 The Game. I'd like to just wrap up with a broader, bigger, global basketball question. If we sodium pentothaled Adam Silver right now and said, honestly, do you want a single NBA player going to the Olympics this year? What would he say?
I don't know, because the league is suffering from a little bit of declining interest and a little bit of declining ratings. And that's, you know, 10 or whatever many games they're going to play, 8 or 10 more prime time opportunities to see their guys. And obviously from a health standpoint, I don't think any teams want their guys to go. But from Adam Silver, who at the end of the day is more worried about the visibility of the teams, I think he'd like to see him play. I think Adam Silver would like to see basketball played year round. I cover Team USA. I am planning on going to the Olympics. I keep an eye on what's going on. I have no idea who's going to be on that roster. No idea. I don't think they do either. They have a list of like 65 guys that they're going to invite. That list might grow to 125 because I don't know if they know who's going to say yes. And remember, not only do we have this season going long, but next season starts quote unquote on time, which means you'd have a really short off season, especially if you did anything in the playoffs at all.
No doubt. Thank you.
I'm sorry.
Get in there.
Speaking of the Olympics, given the fact that, you know, COVID is spiking again in Japan and there is renewed talk of maybe either pushing it back or just canceling it altogether, is that a concern for the league to the point where they might feel like they're better off opting out rather than starting that cycle all over again?
Well, to me, it's easy for me to say I would just push it back for a year and you just be in the middle of the cycle. But it's been made very clear by the Olympic officials who've gone on the record that postponement is not an option, that it is going now or it's not going at all. The Japanese do not want it. There was just a poll by one of their biggest newspapers this week. They're 72% did in favor of it. They're horrified of a variant coming in and sweeping through their country like is happening in India right now. The vaccine over there, only 1 or 2% of their population has been vaccinated. They're just way behind on this. They don't want – I mean, I'm going through the documentation of going to Japan in July, and I can tell you they don't want me. They don't want any Americans there, even though I've been vaccinated. And, you know, to me, this is really a television product. You could have done these games in Orlando, put Tokyo on the floor, put Tokyo, you know, NBC needs 18 nights of Simone Biles doing flips, basketball, Katie Ledecky winning gold medals.
Right. It doesn't matter what country the mat's in.
No. In and out of the breaks, you could put Tokyo Bay on there and nobody would know. They have it in Orlando. But, you know, there's another factor at play here. And not only is it a lot of money, but the Chinese are hosting the Winter Olympics in 6 months after that. And I will tell you, those Olympics in China, in Beijing, are going to go off. And in with the Japanese, reputation is very important. And if they're not able to pull this off, and then the Chinese come in 6 months behind them and pull off a brilliant games because you know they will force it through, it's even a bigger issue. So I would have to say that even though I'm not 100% sure of anything in this day and age, short of a incredible outbreak in Japan, which I really am hoping will not happen for 100 reasons, I think it's going to be forced through. Again, it might be like the NBA season. It may be a get-it-in Olympics. But I think it's going to happen, even if it may not be the greatest idea of all time.
Brian, thanks for getting in with us today. We really appreciate it. If this went on any longer, we'd have to bill it as a podcast. We really appreciate this. Thank you so much.
Have a good weekend.
Thank you. Brian Windhorst, ESPN. Ray.
There was a lot to get into. So
there was an awful lot to get into. Not only, I'm glad that we got in that Olympics question at the end there, because it's a topic that has been backburnered to the point where we haven't discussed it, where if this NBA season, you know, when we wrap it up, whenever the NBA Finals comes and goes, there's a plane leaving for Japan, basically. I mean, that it is, the Olympics are right on the heels of the NBA Finals. And who goes? I mean, I'm going to tell you right now, do you want Steph Curry going to the Olympics? I know he wants to be an Olympian. I know he feels that it's an incomplete spot on his resume, and he wants to do it. And then
he should ask Jason Tatum what he thinks.
If I'm Joe Lacob, I'm saying, Steph, what do you need to not do the Olympics? Can I buy you out of your interest in the Olympics? Can I book the best hotel room for you in the most exclusive enclave of awesome vacationing and send you there for the Olympics instead of please going to the Olympics? If I were Lacob, I wouldn't want a single Golden State Warrior within a country mile of the Olympics.
And yet the fascinating thing is you heard Brian Windhorst say that, you know, Adam Silver desperately wants that, which is a very David Sternian sort of approach, because we've seen, you know, how COVID basically crumpled a season, has still affected the one we're in now. And do you really want to start that all over again? Because it really only takes one player getting it. And then all of a sudden, your narrative in 2021-22 is COVID again. And you're masking again, you're quarantining again, you're modified bubbling it again, and now you've got three seasons that have basically not gone in the toilet, but have been damaged by this pandemic. And I don't know, to me, but I've always erred on the cautious side. I wouldn't bother with the Olympics. I mean, if the ratings, you'll have to fix a different way. You know, if it's really that important to you, that's fine. But I'm not convinced that this Olympics is going to be watched by as many people as before.
Nothing is.
Yeah.
Right?
So, I mean, what? I don't know that that's a huge get for the NBA. I don't know that internationally it's a huge get for the NBA. I think sports has taken its hits as a result of this pandemic. And it should, because everything else has. So I'm sort of the opinion that, you know, it's not about what Joe Lacob does with Stephen Curry. It's about what all the owners do with their guys. And if they go to Adam Silver and say, look, you can talk that stuff all you want, but I'm paying this guy $40 million a year. And if he gets sick, I'm going to hold you responsible.
I mean, I.